This is Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster, talking on the Freedom Fiends. On the other end of the inner tubes, not coming from the secure bunker in the Mountain West, we have coming from the swamps of Louisiana, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, also known as the Feral Possum. What are you this week?
The Bearded Possum?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Louisiana is an amazing place, but we're here in the swamps of Louisiana.
I think we're on the radio there. No, it's Mississippi. We're not, are we? No.
Yeah. Mississippi, not Louisiana.
Yeah, we're not on the radio yet in Louisiana. Yeah. Too bad, man. It needs us.
Louisiana needs the fiends.
That's a movie, isn't it? Isn't that a 1958 sci-fi movie? I think it is. And this song was from the soundtrack of Louisiana Needs the Fiends from 1958. And this is Love Me by The Phantom. This is not usually a music show. And we are required by some rule, I think it is, to say once per hour since we're on conservative talk radio. I will say this, and I believe it from the bottom of my heart. Obama is a liar. He's a socialist, and his feet stink. Now that we have that out of the way, we can go on to fun stuff. Ben wants to ask me something about this song, so I'm going to play this song from 1958. And Ben says this is probably the first time this song's been on the radio in a long time. But, you know, it deserves to be on the radio. Talk stations have to pay out money to BMI and ASCAP, even though they don't play music. So once in a while, we like to give them their money's worth by playing a song. So it's a short one. Here we go. It's 1 minute and 33 seconds, which is about how long hits were in 1958. So here's we go. Yeah.
Yeah! Got a chance at last. Do the things we wanna do. Don't hesitate, I can't wait. Love me. You set my soul on fire. Every muscle in my body is burning with desire. Baby, kiss me too. Make me know you're mine. Love me with desire. Oh, this is fine. Don't hesitate, I can't wait. Love me. Ah! All that are running wild. Got to make it mine. Got to just a little while. Don't hesitate, I can't wait. Love me. Love me. Love me. Love me.
Woo! Wow. And going all the way back to 1958, that was The Phantom with Love Me. Yeah.
Imagine if it was 1958 and you heard that coming out of your 16-year-old daughter's bedroom.
I would slap her with a Bible and ground her for a month.
That is wild.
Which I don't think is good parenting, but I think that was good parenting in 1958. Man, that was what do you think of that, Wolfman Ben? Tell me your opinion. Give me your analysis.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's rockabilly. That's like classic rockabilly. It has a little bit of the Elvis sound to it. It's got some Dick Dale-style guitar in there. It's got a driving beat. That's, for me, that's just beautiful. I love that. But how much of that is punk? I mean, isn't it? Here's my question to you, Michael. Isn't there something about each generation that has punk somewhere in that generation?
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible that in like 1780 that there wasn't somebody just with raging punk feelings?
Yeah,
and just
it was
doing
Mozart,
the best on,
man. Mozart.
Yeah. Scandalous.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Dewey Cox story, Walk Hard?
I've never watched the entire thing. I've only seen pieces of it.
It is amazing. It is one of the best, I think we'll play a clip from it. There's one here where it says Dewey meets cocaine and invents punk rock, which is, I think I've got to put on the dump for this one. Let me let the dump build, then we'll play that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Dude, the Dewey Cox story, Walk Hard, is a mockumentary country rock biopic, and it's pretty amazing. And the guy pretty much, like, in it, it's kind of, you know how in, what's the movie where the guy kind of invents everything, where Tom Hanks plays a kind of simple man from Louisiana?
Forrest Gump.
Like, you know how they, like, put him in the forefront of everything that happened in history? It's kind of like that with music. And there's one where, you know, in 1961, they show Dewey inventing punk rock. Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, so what was your question? You had a question about the Phantoms song there.
Yeah, just that isn't that punk rock? I mean, what about that is not punk? That is, to me, it's just pure punk.
Well, the thing is, there are bands from the early 80s who were in the punk scene and played punk shows that sounded almost exactly like that. One that comes to mind is the Cramps. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, I think the Cramps probably cover that. I wouldn't be surprised. It's a very crampy song. But, yeah, man, that song was great.
Did the Cramps have, like, a real tall, skinny dude
in them? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Lux Interior was his name. Yeah, they had some great names. There's a woman in the band named Poison Ivy, also known as Ivy Rorschach, like the Rorschach test.
She played the guitar?
Yeah. They had no bass player, was the weird thing. Later they got a bass player, but yeah, it was two guitars, a singer and a drummer, and they sounded like that kind of music, but a little more amped up and crazy, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That kind of music. I mean, I don't sit around and listen to any music a lot. I don't listen to a lot of music, that is. But that kind of music just really fires me up, because it's like, I mean, to me, that was so ahead of its time in many ways. In many ways, it was speaking to the time. They had just, you know, rock and roll just discovered the echo and just started adding that in. And,
well,
you know,
it was also in that era. The post-war era before the 60s, you know, when people say, I want to get back to when things were good and America was righteous, I kind of think that's the period. You know, we've always tried to establish where that America of the mind is. And I kind of think it's the, you know, the post-war space race up leading up, you know, Cold War, early Cold War, where America was number one in everything. Kind of, you know,
before the Kennedy assassination, before Vietnam.
Yeah. And the band, the other band that sounds like the song we just heard, I would say, I mean, the Cramps sound just like that, but the band Dead Kennedys are influenced a lot like that. They're influenced a lot by Dick Dale too, but they kind of have their own sound. But, the singer in that band said he loved JFK, and he called his band Dead Kennedys not to insult the Kennedys, but, he said that the death of Bobby and John was the death of the American dream. Like, that was the day. Those are the days the American dream died, you know? Mm. And I could kind of see that. It was about that time. Yeah. The American dream died, you know, 6 months before I was born, basically.
You know, we should mention too, we've mentioned Dick Dale a couple times here today. We should mention that you did a killer interview with Dick Dale.
Oh yeah.
Very rare. Yeah. There are almost no current interviews.
Yeah, I did like Dick three, Dale. 2 hours of interviews with him. It's on my Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Yeah. It's Dewey Cox inventing punk. Keep in mind, he's doing an impromptu version at a sound check of one of his acoustic songs after ingesting some substances for the first time. Yeah, I think we should hear the original of that song to really put it into to context. Yeah,
what was that New York band that all sound? They made like lots of songs, but they all sounded like the one song that they had that was good.
The Ramones.
The Ramones. Now, how did you know from that description that I was talking about the Ramones?
Well, because I've described them that a lot as that they had once they wrote one song. It was great. And
and then they just changed the words and kept playing it over and over and over.
Here's the song. Okay, that was the song he was doing the punk version of. It's a great country song, actually.
Far down life's rocky road, walk bold, hard, that's my creed
and my code.
I've been scorned and slandered and ridiculed too. Had to struggle every day my whole life through. See my share of the worst that this world can give, but I still got a dream and a burning rage to live. Walk hard.
Great song, man.
Hard.
Very Johnny Cash-ish.
It's very like 1962 Johnny Cash. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Cash was amazing too. I remember as a kid, he had a show on TV for a while.
Oh yeah, the Johnny. It was like a variety show, man.
Yeah, and my dad watched that every week when it was on, because my dad liked Johnny Cash. And, if my dad was watching TV, everybody had to stop what they were doing and sit down and watch TV. That was just the rules. Or you leave the house completely, because he didn't want anybody walking around or making noise when he's watching TV.
Nice.
And so I would sit there and watch the Johnny Cash show with him. And I remember Cream coming on Johnny Cash. And I looked at that. And
Bob Dylan was like, on too, but Cream on there, yeah.
Yeah, I was blown away.
Well, Johnny Cash was a punk in his own way. I love Johnny Cash. I've seen him live. I have loved him my whole life. Here's how he was punk in his own way. He was very patriotic, but he was anti-war. You know, his main audience was working men and people that were like, yes, man, bomb them back to the Stone Age. And he was adamantly anti-war during the Vietnam War. He did some songs about it, man. The one about why he wears black is the one that comes to mind. We should find that. Yep. I don't know. We got kicked off a station last time. We just played music. I'm not going to do it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
How weird is that we're on radio?
It's bizarre.
I like guns.
I like guns.
I like guns. It's actually a country song called I Like Guns. It's by a guy from Australia. Have you heard it?
No.
I would play that too, but first of all, you have to see the video because it's just a guy liking guns. It's pretty cool. In Australia, where it's kind of hard to like guns these days.
And we bring that up because we're anti-war and pro-gun.
Yeah.
And that shocks some people.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know what that is, as I usually say when I hear things that I don't know.
David Crosby is a bad example, but he was pro-gun and anti-war back in the day.
Yeah. One of my role models when I was young, when I was 11, 10 or 11, was I'm the youngest. I'm 50, and I'm the youngest child in my family. My brother's 75. My dad's 93. And my two sisters are somewhere in between myself and my brother. And my sister had a boyfriend when I was 10 or 11 or 12 who was a hippie with a gun. And he was a righteous person in a good way. I liked him and looked up to him. He was a Vietnam vet, and he was a hippie in every sense of the word, except he wasn't lazy. A lot of people think of hippies as lazy. This guy had been a Marine in the Vietnam War and been honorably discharged at some point. I think he just finished his service. I don't think he was discharged even. And he was a hippie with everything that goes along with that. But he also kept a lot of the discipline of being in the Marines. Like, this guy was a long-haired pot smoking hippie who got up and did like 300 sit-ups every morning.
And wow.
But he was a vegetarian, but he carried a rifle, a loaded rifle in the trunk of his car for self-defense. And now, didn't carry a handgun, carried a loaded rifle in his car, which is, you know, it's better to do that and then also carry the sidearm so you can fight your way to the loaded rifle. Or may, I don't know, maybe with some 60s cars, you could reach into the trunk through the back seat. So,
could be.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, you got any hippies with guns stories other than David Crosby, who's a horrible example and couldn't play his instruments at first? The Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young were kind of like the Monkees. They were a created group. And Neil Young was added as kind of the Peter Tork of the group, the guy who could actually play in the manufactured group. Yeah.
Yeah. Do bikers count as hippies with guns?
Oh, well, you're a biker. You tell me.
Most bikers don't like to be referred to as hippies because hippies are typically leaning to the left, a little bit to the communist side, or at least communal. They like communal
ideas. Yeah, that's
ideas.
Where they went wrong, man. And I really think there's kind of a resurgence now. There's like a crossover between some of the best of the hippie stuff and like the few good parts of the Patriot movement. I mean, I think GCN is ground zero for that. Our network, like you listen to the ads on here and the shows on here, and it's like, you know, it's all about like body armor, rifles, and like canned foods and good foods, you know?
Yeah, and health, curing yourself naturally instead of going to a pharmacist.
Yeah, hippies with rifles, man. That's the new thing, and I dig it.
Yeah, a lot of bikers don't like the idea of being called hippies, and you can actually get yourself beat badly by calling some bikers a hippie.
Didn't some bike gang in the 60s, I'm not going to name groups of didn't some bike group in the 60s go beat up anti-war protesters in the 60s?
Yeah, especially in the Oakland area. There was a lot of that kind of conflict that went on. And it's kind of unfortunate, but a lot of that era of bikers were, you know, veterans. And they were extremely patriotic. It was not at all like what was portrayed on the movies and television and so forth.
Yeah, there's kind of a disturbing trend now with conservatives who are, and I say this with all the love in the world, I'm not saying conservatives are horrible because I have a lot of the same values that conservatives have, but I will lovingly point out where I think they're going wrong in the same way that if I had a good friend I cared about who was an alcoholic and I'm a recovering alcoholic, I would talk to him calmly and say, look, you need help. I can help you. I've been there. So it's not looking down or looking up or not pleading up or looking down. It's looking across the table over a cup of coffee saying, look, I've been there, brother. You know, there's this site called Conservative Treehouse that it recently came out. And they're totally like, we love America. We love, you know, we love the Bill of Rights. We love, you know, we love the Constitution. We love the flag. And then they have threads on there where there's people talking about the citizen journalists in Ferguson who are filming the police, and they're talking about how can we go there and jam their Wi-Fi signal so they can't so they can't get footage out. So basically they're saying like, how can we violate their First Amendment rights? And then they actually like set a guy up and like got him 5150'd so he couldn't go out and film stuff there. Like how many of the Bill of Rights does that violate, man? A bunch of them. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbrich Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you.
How can you help CatMuff help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us. Freedom Fiends. That's the song of mine right there called We Are the Good Guys. And yes, it does have the sound of me cocking a Smith & Wesson 9mm. It's not one of the M&P. It's not one of the military and police. It's one of the, it's like the citizen version of that. I forget. It was my first pistol. I sold that piece of tin to somebody. It's gone. It's actually registered to me, though. I bought it in California. I live in Wyoming now. That's like, when people say, like, and I registered my gun. I'm like, what? You what? I don't get it. You mean you sent in the card to the manufacturer for the warranty? What do you mean you registered your gun? I don't know what that is where I live.
I don't think I own a registered gun. Oh, no, I don't. My wife does.
You're supposed to own one registered gun, so when they come for your guns, you can hand that one over. One papered gun. It could be, yeah, a papered gun doesn't have to be a registered gun. It means you bought it, you know, there's a record of you connected with it. Yeah, that's square, man. Registering guns. That's so square. So
yeah, I think everyone I own, I've either bought from a private party or I've bought, you know, in one way or another, where there was no record of the transaction.
I used to be a member of the NRA, and I'm not anymore because they're so square, and they've gotten squarer, and I've gotten far less square over the years. They love the police. They love the police, and the thing that people who have that attitude don't understand is that's loving the people that are going to take your guns away, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because they will follow orders.
Yeah, I think the reason a lot of conservatives love the police and love – I think a lot of conservatives somehow love, you know, love the idea of law and order. And, you know, of course, what, you know, rational person wouldn't like the idea of a society where there's not violence and where there's, you know, things are the same. Here's the thing, though. Things can change without the government having to do it, without Obama having to oppress you. And things can move forward, but that doesn't mean that there's a lack of stability or that the world is getting worse.
Yeah, because we've often said, you take a look at a place like Disney World, and there you have a very large chunk of land with no police, but yet there's security. And yeah. So, and it still functions. You don't see robberies at Disney World. You don't see, I'm sure there's some, but you don't see that as a commonplace thing.
And the interesting thing is the police are kind of hidden there. But they're a lot more – they will respond a lot quicker if somebody gets really out of hand there and starts bothering people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that they're – we're not asking for – you know, we don't believe in a liberal world where everybody just holds hands and sings songs and nobody ever does anything wrong.
No.
We believe that each citizen has the right to protect themselves and the responsibility to protect themselves.
Yeah, but the way the police are getting militarized – that is not going to end well for conservative gun owners. That is going to be the people who take your guns away. And I don't care if you're friends with your local sheriff or your local chief of police or have a family member in the police department. Those are the people that are going to be taking your gun away. And let's read a little bit of police stories from just this week. Now, I'm not anti-cop. I'm not anti-law and order. I believe the thing when people say there are good cops out there, but I want to see the good cops arresting the bad cops, because cops are acting with impunity horribly all across America. There's a lot of this going on, and it really saddens me when I see good conservative people backing the police without question. You know, like when there's a police call because some kid called and said, you know, my dad and my mother are fighting, and they show up and the dad has a gun in his hand and they, you know, kill him. And, you know, maybe it's a righteous shoot. You have to believe their side of the story. There's no video. But then you see all these comments from citizens of like, thank you, brave officers, for your service, for protecting us. And I'm like, how do you know what, like, the investigation that they're doing on themselves isn't even over yet. And you've already, like, said the guy was guilty and deserved to be murdered. You know, don't give everyone the benefit of a doubt. Don't give the state the benefit of a doubt. And if you don't love Obama, you shouldn't love the police, because they're under his command. You know, if you go from top down, it's like him and then who's taking Eric Holder's place? I don't know. And then it all goes down from there to, like, the local cop on the beat. So read some of the things from this site, Photography is Not a Crime, which is dedicated to, you can find it on Facebook. Photography is Not a Crime used to be mainly a site dedicated to exposing instances of people's constitutional rights being violated by police for taking pictures, which is pretty common because police love to photograph you all the time, but they don't like to be photographed. And they also like to arrest people, especially post 9/11, for things like photographing a government building or even like photographing birds on public land, on, you know, like national land or state land, or sometimes even bizarrer things than that, like people on private property taking pictures. So read just a few of these headlines going down this page, please, Ben.
Well, one just really jumps out at me, and this is a short one, but it says, cops seize $17,550 from driver, never charge him with a crime. And then it goes on to tell the story. And this is something I think a lot of conservatives don't realize. There's a lot of conservatives that will tell you, oh, I like to do cash transactions. I like to carry cash. I like to...
Or gold.
Yeah. And they really need to understand that in this world that we live in today, in the United States of America, if a cop pulls you over for a taillight or whatever, and it becomes obvious to him that you have a substantial amount of cash or any gold or silver with you, they can consider that in itself a suspect.
Drug money. They take it and they say it's drug money, and then you have to hire an attorney, which is often more than the cost of what they took, to get it back. They're just straight up armed robbery highwaymen. That is happening more and more and more.
It really is theft. It's no different than in the 1800s or the 1700s when a armed highwayman would pull over your coach and make you show what you had in your pockets, and then he would take whatever of it that he wanted, and then he would choose whether or not he shot you down or whether he turned you loose. And yeah. You know, Lysander Spooner made that comparison 100 and some years ago, and he said the only difference really between the highwaymen and the policemen or the government, he was referring to the government in general, the only difference is the highwayman never tries to lie to you and convince you that he's your friend and he's doing it as a service.
Yeah.
But the government does the exact same thing to you and then tries to follow you along even afterwards and continue robbing you and continue telling you that they're doing it for your protection.
Yeah, and very often people who have this happen to themselves and then speak out about it or make a fuss or, you know, come on the local radio, call into a radio station or do a webpage about it, they get continually hassled by the police. The police look for things to arrest them for. And that's another thing that was happening on that conservativetreehouse.com site, was there were people talking, and these are people who claim to love America, claim to love the Constitution, claim to love the Bill of Rights, were looking for ways to find something to have citizen journalists in Ferguson, Missouri arrested for. Now, if you believe in the Constitution, you should believe in that people have a right to go to a public place and film the government and film the protesters. You know, it's accountability. But, you know, these were so-called self-identified conservatives talking about ways to use the state against people who aren't committing a crime. Like, how can we get them arrested? Are any of them on parole? You know, do any of them have expired licenses? Are any of them carrying guns that, you know, aren't registered? They were just trying to find ways to squash free speech. And that is one of the most egregious things out there. I'm actually seeing a lot of it going on the internet in various factions who think they're right and think someone else is wrong, of like trying to censor people's right to speak freely in one way or another, whether it's a DMCA takedown, you know, a copyright takedown, or reporting somebody or making something up. You know, gun grabbers do it too. There's a few gun blogs right now where people are screeching about open carry and how horrible they think it is. And one of the suggestions that keeps coming up is people say, when you see someone open carrying, call 911 anonymously and say there's a crazy person with a gun acting erratically, which is basically saying, get that person murdered. That's horrible.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with that Marine that called 911 in Ohio, in Beaver Creek, Ohio.
Yeah, it was a racial thing.
It was, I think, because, and I'm not one to yell, I'm not one to use the race card all the time or anything like that, and, you know, and I'm a Caucasian, but the guy picked up a pellet gun off of the shelf in a Walmart.
To buy it. He bought a toy gun. Yeah. He's buying a toy gun, yeah.
And he's walking, he's making his way towards the front, talking to his wife on the cell phone, making sure.
Not pointing it at anybody, it's pointed down. No. Yeah.
It was pointed at the floor. It's, he was actually leaning on it in very poor form with a with a gun, but he was at, it was again, the barrel was against the floor and he was leaning on it. And this Marine calls 911 and says he's pointing a rifle, an assault rifle, at children. And the cops come in and they yell, "Drop the rifle and shoot." And the recordings of this exist, and you can hear it for yourself. They yell and shoot so quickly between the two that there was no time for him to even respond. So that Marine literally got an innocent man murdered by the cops because he chose to panic the 911 operator like that by saying that there was a man with an assault rifle pointing it at children.
I have a prediction. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear the
prediction. I have a prediction of why the police are being militarized. You know, all these towns of like 800 people are getting a tank, basically, a tank with wheels, and they're getting body armor and, you know, burst fire, switchable, full auto, you know, assault rifles, literally, and getting military training and being trained to look at every single citizen as the enemy. Mm-hmm. I think that the government knows it's going to completely collapse in a non-recoverable way, and they're not arming the police to keep order. I think they're arming them so they can just go around and be highwaymen in the apocalypse. I really do.
That's a very likely scenario. I was reading about something like that earlier today.
It's
where
their
the guy was talking.
It's their pension package. It's like, well, the world, you know, everything's going to collapse and everyone's going to be on their own. And you guys did your service to the state. We want you to be able to go around and murder and rob. I mean, that sounds horrible to a lot of people, but think about it in conjunction with some of these bad cop stories, you know?
Well, from a financial point of view, from an economics point of view, the United States government cannot continue forever creating new money and not have a money collapse. And since all the banks all the way around the world are based on this, how can it not happen?
And there's no fixing it. You know, the conservative angle of, we got to get rid of Obama and get the right people in there. The whole thing is rotten to the foundation, the way the money is created and controlled by the government. I think Bitcoin is a possible savior to that, though. It's real money that's not controlled by the government.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Mew. So, Ben.
Hey, Michael.
Tell me what's up, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker.
What's that song that just finished?
That is a song called My God is a Woman by my band Slish.
Uh-oh. Shouldn't have brought that topic up, huh?
Well, it's my God really isn't a woman. My God is God, but I am a deist, like Thomas Jefferson was, which means that was when I was recently sober in AA, and they said, if you don't want to believe in the God that people have, make up a God of your understanding. And I was like, I like women. I'm going to make my God a 700-foot-tall woman.
The giant Amazon woman. Huh?
Yeah, wasn't that a horror movie in the early 60s, like the Attack of the 50-foot woman or something like that?
Yeah, and they actually remade it with, who was that beautiful actress? Oh, I can't remember, like in the 90s or something.
I don't know. Was it Angelina Jolie?
No, it was
before she
was big. She's an inveterate
liberal, so don't call her beautiful on conservative talk radio. But her dad's a Republican, so it's okay. Isn't her dad? Who's her dad? John Voight is her dad.
Yeah,
that is so weird.
It's very conservative.
That she is his daughter.
Yep, very strange.
Yep, I think he's in Dewey Cox story, Walk Hard.
Could be.
Nah, I don't know. Anyway, go on. He's in Zoolander.
I was just going to throw out some early redemption in the third act, even though it's the third act of the first hour, but it's not the third act.
We do it that way, and I'm glad you remembered that, because the Freedom Fiends is a teaching hospital. And if you want to know how to podcast and do radio, I'm using a $50 microphone, man. This is not rocket science. Although shooting is ballistic tables and things are rocket science, literally. But go to creamyradioaudio.com and watch my video, The Freedom Fiend's Guide to Podcasting and Radio, to learn how to do all this stuff. But yeah, we like to teach people how to do this. We don't keep it all a secret. We don't want to be the only ones important enough to speak into a microphone. We want to teach more people to do it. So go to creamyradioaudio.com. So Ben, what you got?
So we were talking apocalyptically in before the break, and I didn't want to leave it on a negative note, you know, because it sounds like, you know, oh, it's all defeat and it's all doom and gloom and the future is going to be horrible, but not necessarily. I mean, for some people, if you're absolutely dependent upon the government in one way or another for your job or for free living that's just handed to you or whatever, if you're dependent upon the government, when the government collapses, you're going to be in a really bad situation.
Yeah.
But as a lot of preppers in the world, and you know, I kind of consider myself a prepper, and I've put a lot of time into that school of thought, a lot of preppers in the world are ready for such an event because there's so many different things that can trigger it. You know, the collapse of the financial system, a stray meteor, a sun flash. You know, there are particular types of flashes that the sun makes that can wipe all electricity out in the whole world.
The volcano in Yellowstone erupting.
Yeah, the impact from that could cause unbelievable destruction.
And I think these are all movies that take place in the not too distant future, and they usually have Morgan Freeman as the president, don't they? But go on.
But life doesn't, after something like that, life doesn't, it's not just going to be, you know, mobs roaming the streets, eating each other. It's not going to be like that.
Zombie preppers.
Yeah.
Or zombie, the people preppers are prepping against. Yeah.
Human beings have been on the earth for a really long time. And most of the time humans have been on the earth, there was no government. We get along in non-governmental situations really well. And there's all kinds of not only evidence to support that,
family
there are
picnics.
Existing.
A family picnic is anarchy. A family picnic is anarchy in the good sense of the word, in the sense of a lack of government and cooperation with voluntary interaction.
I use the example all the time of my family in Appalachia. We get together. We don't anymore because most of the older ones have died off and everybody else has kind of moved away. But for years and years, we had a family reunion way off in the mountains of Kentucky. And we were far enough away that there was just no practical way for a cop to get there. And there was no way for an ambulance to get there with any kind of, you know, time frame that would be helpful. And yet, here you've got a huge group of very diverse people, some of which hate each other, most of which are armed, and we would all get together and eat and have fun and talk, and there was never any violence. Year after year went by, and there was never any violence.
And these are armed, drunk people.
Yeah. And some of them are religiously, you know, kind of nutty and anti-drinking and still armed.
Yep. All right.
So we're going to be back in a little while.
Yes. Yeah. Worms. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends, man. It'll be good. Worms. Worms.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Yes. Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean. Broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. Who we got on the other end of the inner tubes there, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker?
This is Ben Stone, and I am broadcasting live from the depths of the swamps of Louisiana, north of Lake Pontchartrain.
Yeah.
This is such a cool area. This is the first time I've been to Louisiana. And I am just amazed at how neat it is here, how much wildlife there is, the quantity of really weird spiders that they have here. But it's really neat. It's cool.
And weird people.
We found the people of Louisiana so far to be extremely polite, very friendly, very, you know, you can approach them very easily. They're really nice people. And it's not at all unusual for the South. That's what we found through most of the South.
Yeah, when I was touring with a punk rockish band, we weren't really punk rock, my band Bomb, back between 86 to 93, we were together, and we were kind of freaky looking, you know, we usually had like, with four or five people in the van, we usually had like, you know, a couple people with multicolor hair, a couple people with shaved heads, somebody with a mohawk, and you know, thrift store reject clothing. And when we went on tour, we were afraid, like, to go to the South. We were like, that's where they kill weirdos in movies. But you know what? People were always polite to us in the South. They were curious, but they were polite. And they would be curious in your face. They would come up to you at a gas station and be like, "What? Where are y'all from?" Like, you know, a little bit accusatory, but, or what are y'all doing in town? But no one ever messed with us. We got messed with hard and like nearly killed a couple times in like Detroit and upstate New York. Yeah, man. That was scary.
You know, we were in a gas station. We were sitting there in a gas station in Mississippi. And, you know, I'm usually fairly quiet around people. But then at times, like, I have no fear of people, of humans, as far as like getting hurt or whatever. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of insulting a crowd or whatever. I'll say something to 20 bikers just as quick as I'll say it to a nerd. But and my wife knows this. She knows
the
that
nerd
I
could ruin your life later, and you'd never know.
That's probably true. But my wife knows this, and it worries her whenever I get angry about something. But so we were in this gas station in Mississippi, and I should clarify this by saying that my wife and I live in our RV full time, and we travel around the country and just see the sights and enjoy America. But anyway, so we're sitting in this gas station in Mississippi, and this guy comes walking out of the convenience store with a lit cigarette and walks right over to the gas pump where he's pumping gas. And I look out the window, and I slide open my window, and I go, "What kind of an idiot are you?" And he looks at me. Now, if you say that to somebody in New York or Ohio or Michigan or, you know, Illinois, whether they're right or wrong, you're going to have a fight on your hands. And this is a big guy I'm saying this to, big country guy, you know, healthy. And my wife was just, she's like slapping her forehead like, "Oh, man, we're going to get in a fight in Mississippi." Real brilliant, you know. But I said this to the guy, I put my head out the window, "What kind of an idiot are you smoking at a gas pump?" And he gets this big, dumb smile on his face like, uh-oh. And he walks really quickly, walks around the other side of his pickup truck and puts his cigarette out. And his attitude in it was like, "Oh, no, I did something dumb. Sorry about that." He didn't say a word. But the attitude was so much better than so many other places I've been. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, you insult somebody in Ohio, it's a good chance you're going to be in a fight with somebody. But, you know, but that's just my nature. I don't care whether or not I get in a fight. I'll say that. I'm an old man with brain damage, so I'll say anything to anybody.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to stop. I'm yelling at Nima Vedati on the internet.
Uh-oh. And Nima is one of the two original hosts of the show. Michael and Nima did the show for a long time just by themselves without all us crazy co-hosts.
Yeah. You know what I've found in a lot of situations in life? The way to get popular isn't necessarily to be the best. It's to be good and to keep doing it. Nima was better on radio than I am, but you know, I'm the Fiends now. There's people who are like, "Nima who?" And I respect Nima a lot and dug his input on this show, but I did all the behind the scenes stuff and still mostly do, and I just I have the time in my life to get on the radio 6 or 7 days a week and yak for a couple hours and do the 4 or 5 hours a day behind the scenes that make that happen day after day after day, you know, for going on 4 years pretty soon here. But,
you know, that's a really important lesson that I've actually taught that in classes, what you just said. And that is that it's not important to be the very best at what you do. It's just important to be consistent. And when it comes to having a job, you don't have to be the best at doing your job. You have to show up every day, and you have to be honest and don't steal. And if you, no matter who you're working for, if they can depend on you showing up every single day, and if they know that whatever you say to them is going to be the truth, whether it hurts or not, and if they know you're not going to steal from them, you will not get fired. When the layoffs come, you will not get laid off. They will keep you around because that kind of an employee is like gold.
Yeah, and I have to point out that Mr. Ben Stone, who just said that very eloquent and important statement, is a guy who has been speaking into a microphone for years now, but has retired several times and said, "I'm done doing this, I'm done." And usually your wife and I talk you back into it. You know, I do it because I say what you're saying is important and people need to hear it, and you say it well and people respect you. And your wife says that combined with, "You're nuts when you don't have anything to do. I want you doing something."
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like that saying, you know, from the movie where he says, "Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in."
Just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water. Yeah, Jaws 2. I also want to point out that you were really comfortable doing podcasts, which are pre-recorded and then release and then editing them and then releasing them. But I talked to you about a year ago about thinking that you should get on radio. And what did you say?
I said, no way, no how. Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Why? Nope. Why?
I don't like, or, you know, generally speaking, I don't like live stuff because I don't feel like I'm sharp on my feet. I mentioned a second ago in joking that I have brain damage, but I actually do have brain damage.
Yeah.
And at times I have a real trouble speaking. And so if I'm podcasting, I can time when I'm doing that to my schedule, but you can't do that with radio. With radio, you know, the music ends and you have to talk. There's no delay. If you pause too long, they'll just shut you off. They'll do something else.
Well, radio literally doesn't sleep. Literally on radio, if you pause for 6 seconds, an alarm goes off. You would not hear it on radio, but it goes off at the network. It's it's a dead air alarm because 6 seconds of dead air usually means something's broken because talk show hosts never stop talking. You know, they may pause for a second or a second and a half for dramatic effect or to think of the next thing they're going to say. But 6 seconds of silence on talk radio probably means a wire is cut or something. So people scramble when that happens. And I kind of like that because what I like to say is I've always loved talking. And I believe that I believe in my heart of hearts that one person speaking to another, whether it's you speaking to me on the telephone or us speaking to each other and sharing it with, you know, hundreds, not hundreds of thousands, but tens of thousands of people on the radio. I believe that that is the most powerful form of human communication. I like good spoken media better than I like books, better than I like movies, better than I like music, because it's far more intimate and it's also spoken language was the first form of communication. It existed a long time before there was written communication and way before, you know, and all the modern stuff like movies and things, that's the last 100 years or so. So it's really innate in human beings to respond deeply to well done spoken media. And, I dig it, man. I dig it. And I really like the idea. I've always liked talking. And when I was a kid, I would have loved it if somebody had said to me, when you're 50, your talking is going to be so important that alarms will go off if you stop.
You know, and there's a lot more to two people talking, like you just now said. There's more than just the words involved because your voice goes up and down and you put fluctuations into it and you put emphasis on syllables and on separate words.
I've seen three arguments on Facebook this week that would not have happened if the people were speaking instead of typing, where someone didn't understand something was sarcastic and went like, "What are you saying?" Yeah.
I would say a good portion of arguments on the internet and by email are just that. It's pure misunderstanding of intention because you can't hear the fluctuations in their voice.
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff that's on the internet now, too, is people who have really strong single-issue beliefs that think they're right and everybody should bow to their beliefs, yelling at people who don't agree with them. Which is ridiculous, too, especially when it's like bashing libertarianism. And, you know, I'm seeing it with everything like feminism versus men's rights movement, one brand of liberty guy versus another brand of liberty guy, Democrats versus Republicans. And the thing is, the only argument worth having is, do you love the government or do you hate the government? That's the only one worth having, because basically the only sin in life is aggressing on another person. And that's what the government does by design. All governments, not just any government in America, not just local, state, national, whatever. Every government that's ever existed. You know, in my podcasting video, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says all governments are corrupt. And I picked that shirt really specifically because I really believe it to the core of my being. And I knew that that video over time would be seen by a lot of people who didn't know liberty and just want to know about podcasting. And so I conspicuously picked that shirt and wore it for that video.
Hey, before we run off to the next break for the market, can I throw in some behind-the-scenes radio teaching hospital stuff?
Yes.
I normally do something, and I'll tell you what that is in just a second. And I forgot to do it this time as we began the show today. And I just now paid the price for that happening. I don't know if you heard it or not. But I always put a ponytail holder in my beard to keep my beard from hooking the mic foam on the windscreen.
Good tip. I didn't have reason to put that in my video, but we can add that in the
spoken record of Fiends on the torrents.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Worms. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker.
Fortunately, I keep my feathers numbered for just such an emergency.
Foghorn Leghorn. I like that bird.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
Isn't his accent, is it Louisiana or Mississippi or Georgia? I can't tell.
Probably somewhere around northern Louisiana to Mississippi. It's a very gentlemanly accent. There are hints that he was in the upper class of the, possibly a plantation owner type heritage.
Ew.
Certainly not of the poorer folk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people don't realize that even in the 1800s, there was a real class distinction between the upper-bred Southerners and the regular white people that lived in the South. There was a very, very wide cultural divide.
Racism is just – I've heard that racism is made up by rich people to keep poor whites and blacks from getting together and killing all the rich people.
You know that – I wonder who said that. That's really –
That was Jim Goad. Jim Goad said that in his book, The Redneck Manifesto, and the next sentence is something to the effect of, the poor black – worker, factory worker, and working next to the poor white factory worker, those two have far more in common than the white factory worker has in common with the white factory owner.
That's very true.
And that kind of sounds like Marxism. It's not. It's just a fact. It's a fact of corporatism. Here's my theory. There's nothing wrong with capitalism, and it's a good thing when it's not involved with the government. When it was involved with the government and they're picking winners and losers, it becomes capitalism or corporatism. And I also have a theory that there's nothing wrong with being a millionaire, but there's something wrong with being a billionaire.
It's very difficult to become a billionaire without doing
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yep. It's I don't know where the cutoff is. It's probably around $20 million, $30 million. You could probably have $10, $20, $30 million without doing anything immoral if you're really smart. But I don't think you can have far over that, or billions, without being just the devil.
Yeah. I've known, this is going to be a weird subject for radio, so I'll be very careful how I say it, but I've known, drug dealers that were very rich and very peaceful, and there was no violence in their business, and they were very, very wealthy. But I think there's a certain level of wealth, even in that kind of a black market where there's no government involved, there's a certain level of wealth where the desire for more wealth overwhelms, your morality.
I might know where that cutoff point is. I remember a quote from High Times magazine from the 70s. It was from the guy who started the magazine, who used to be one of those types of people. He said, there's two kinds of drug dealers in the world.
those who don't own a forklift and those who do. All right, moving right along. So I want to talk a little bit about, well, first of all, I want to say that Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. I like to say that once an hour because we believe it and we know it to be true. And people tune into radio, you know, for a half hour at a time while they're driving to church or the VFW picnic, and they don't necessarily know what kind of people we are if they just tune in and hear us talking about crazy drug stuff. To be clear, neither Ben and I don't take drugs. I used to take drugs, but I've been sober for 20 years. It'll be 21 years coming up here next May. And Ben doesn't do drugs. Ben drinks a little. I don't even drink a little. And I'm just straight up mentally ill. No, I'm kidding. I am not mentally ill. I'm pretty mentally sane. But yeah, man, we don't do drugs, but we don't think people should be thrown in cages for doing whatever they want. And I don't care how many pictures of people with rotten teeth you trot out to me. That ain't a crime, man, doing that to yourself. And in the lack of a government enforcement arm that is, you know, the drug war is far more damaging to human lives than the drugs themselves. And a recent example was that baby. The police were doing a drug raid, threw a flashbang grenade through a window. It landed in a baby's crib and permanently disfigured the baby's face. They found no drugs in the house, and the police are not being charged with anything. They finally came out with that yesterday. So there's this kid, toddler, under a couple years old, with a permanently disfigured face. I've seen pictures of him, like even after it's healed a little bit, looks really bad. Looks, you know, if you've ever seen someone with a hair lip, looks far more weird than someone with a hair lip looks, you know, to someone when you just come across them. And I'm not saying anything bad about anyone with a deformity. I feel for them. But this kid is going to go through his whole life with a messed up face because of the war on drugs. You know, I heard Ian Freeman saying that kid's going to have trouble dating. I don't know that he is. That kid could become the poster child for the anti-drug war and be quite a player. I hope he does, man. I would like to hear him traveling and giving speeches as a teenager.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. I'm your host, Michael Dean, and the co-host today is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Michael, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Superman does good. I'm doing well. Although I'm doing good, too, as Davy Barker likes to say.
Yeah, we hope that we're doing good. We want to be doing good. That's our goal in being here.
Well, Ben, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for your service, too.
Yeah.
And we say that, we're not mocking anybody in the military.
We're not taking anything away from anybody. We're adding something to... there's a lot of people who aren't, you know, hired by the government who do good. And I'm kind of interested in moving to a society where everything is done without the government. Aren't you, Ben?
Yeah. You know, our name, the Freedom Fiends, is based on the idea that we are kind of like the olden days they would call people a drug fiend. And you mispronounce the name, the word fiend.
Well, it's kind of street slang now to say fiend. For fiend.
Yeah. So we are freedom fiends. We are addicted to the thought of freedom. We want freedom. We want to be free, not to harm other people. And we don't want anybody free to harm us. But as long as no one is harming each other, you should be able to do anything you want to do so long as it doesn't harm someone else or their property.
Yeah.
And that's what we're fiends for.
And that was kind of the hippie saying, except the hippies got it wrong because they didn't believe you should carry guns to protect yourself, and we carry guns to protect ourselves. And the hippies, while some of them were kind of straight up anarchists, a lot of them, the ones who won out with the loudest voices, were the ones that led to Obama being president. And Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And if I have to say it, the world is a messed up place, but it is. That's not a racial thing, man. I don't care that the guy's black. Hillary Clinton's going to be the next president, and she is white, and I think she's going to be worse than Obama. And it's not because she's a woman. Because
she's a liar and a socialist, and her feet stink.
Her feet stink, man. Yeah. And
I'll tell you, if Jeb Bush becomes the next president, which is also a possibility, he's a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink.
And both of them are going to take us off radio. So you should be subscribing at freedomfiends.com and getting on our torrent link. Go to the torrent club link over on the right of the page and read that there. It's pretty simple to become a torrent seeder for the Freedom Fiends, which basically is just using your unused computer power while you're asleep and downloading and re-uploading and sharing our stuff. So, if the government drones me or Ben or takes our website, you'll still be able to share it. And it's pretty cool technology. Speaking of technology, I've been complaining for weeks about my internet problems, because here in Beast Lick, Wyoming, there's only one option for cable, for cable internet, fast internet cable internet service, and it's Charter, and they are not good, man. Here's what they've been doing. I believe what they've been doing is overselling their capacity vastly. Like, everywhere you go in Wyoming, there's an ad for them. Like, literally, we're customers of them, and we still get, like, mail every day from them saying sign up for Charter, and there's ads on TV and on the radio all the time and on billboards, and I think they're overselling their capacity. I imagine there'll probably be a class action suit at some time in the future. I don't know about that, but I do know that it used to be, for 5 years, they had great internet access here. Not great, it was down sometimes, but when it was working, it was solid. But for the past couple months, between 8 p.m. and midnight every night, it crawls to, like, dial-up speed. So I talked to some other radio hosts and some radio engineers, and they told me what you got to do is get a second internet connection, and it has to be DSL. And DSL is, like, that's going back. I mean, I left DSL 10 years ago to get cable, and it was a vast improvement, I thought, cable. But that was in bigger cities, in more metropolitan areas. And it turns out that DSL is, while it's like 1/30th the speeds of cable, it is solid. It's far more solid than cable. It's dedicated. Your throughput doesn't go down when your neighbors are all surfing porn and watching Homeland on Netflix in the evening. It's solid no matter what. And it's also just more consistent. It doesn't have downtime as much. So what I had to do was pay $500 a year extra to get another cable, or to get DSL. And then I had to go pay $275 for this big boy industrial strength Cisco router. And then I had to hire a friend of mine who's, he actually did it for me for free, but I'm recommending this guy. You should hire this guy if you want to get stuff done. Link Porterfield at qpg.us. That's qpg.us. And I'm going to start running ads for this guy as a favor, because he was so helpful to me, starting on the podcast today and Monday on the radio show. QPG, that would be Quebec Papa Golf.us. QPG.us. This is kind of a neat thing that people can do this now. He remotely routed in, and I let him take over my desktop, and he was, like, moving my mouse. And I was talking to him on another computer on Skype while he completely did an amazing amount of settings in the router software to make it work perfectly. And Ian Freeman helped us with telling us what we needed to do, because he has the same setup and the same router and, cable and DSL.
And what we did is the computer that has Skype on it is always going over the DSL, and the computer that has the Comrex, which is how we connected the network, is always going over DSL. And they don't really use that much throughput. Skype without video, the way we're using it, uses about 100 kilobits per second, you know, a tenth of a meg per second up and down combined. And believe it or not, the Comrex that we connect to the network with, I was using this codec called FLAC, which is like 700 kilobits, or no, 800 kilobits per second there and back. And I've actually switched to AAC mono, which is 64 kilobits per second up and down combined. So total to do this show, I'm using 164 kilobits per second up and down combined on a DSL connection that is about 400 millibits per second download solid, upload solid, and about 800 kilobits per second upload solid. If I said megabits, I meant kilobits. So there's more than enough headroom to do everything we need to do with no dropouts on the DSL modem only. Now, the thing is, on my other computer, and on the wireless computers in the house, I'm using the cable. And then the way this works is if one of the connections drops or dies, or, you know, someone that doesn't like my show finds out where I live and cuts the cable, like actually happened a year and a half ago one time, it routes over to the other one. And the thing is, I can also plug in my 4G phone and use that as a hotspot, like if all the cables are knocked down by an ice storm or angry listeners. So I'm bulletproof and drone proof. Like literally, it would take a bullet to stop this show. You know, you can't do it by cutting the cables or, you know, the internet or the government or anything like that. Like we're pretty bulletproof now. That's not a challenge. Don't try it.
It would actually take about 12 bullets.
Why? Oh, because all the co-hosts. Yeah, yeah. The thing is, that's I've trained my replacements to where this show can happen if I am vaporized off the face of the earth with a drone, like in the TV show Homeland that everyone loves because it's so pro-state and people love the state.
And, you know, I should mention, too, that there's a reason why there's only one cable company in your town. And everywhere, wherever you're listening to this radio show from, the odds are there's only one cable company available in your town. There's two in
big cities.
Yeah, like, sometimes you'll get
Austin,
two.
L.A., New York, Chicago, there's probably two.
But back when cable TV was first being installed.
Because of the government. That's the answer.
Yeah, yeah,
and exactly. Before you finish this story, the first mm-hmm. town that had cable internet was in Wyoming. It was cable TV. Casper, Wyoming had it in the late 60s, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
When cable TV first started becoming popular in the late 70s, I was actually making money with a ditch witch trencher cutting trenches for cities as they put in their cable TV.
Nice.
So I actually know a little bit about this, but cities and counties sometimes would contract with a cable TV outlet, a company, and they would sign sometimes like 99-year contracts that company would be the exclusive provider for all cable TV for that municipality.
That's not capitalism. That is crapitalism. And that's why your dollar doesn't go as far as it should. But really, the underlying thing is, why are you using dollars? Why do we have to use something the government makes and controls and slowly inflates over 100 years to the point where a dollar buys 1/20th of what it did 100 years ago when the Federal Reserve took it over?
Yeah, and we're at the anniversary. We're at the 100th year anniversary of that event taking place.
Yeah, and I'm not saying audit the Fed. They've already audited the Fed. It didn't change anything. I'm saying and I'm not saying legislate the Fed out of existence. I'm saying, like, you know, just remove yourself from that equation. Use Bitcoin, use gold, use barter, trade with your neighbors, goods for services.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
To have this pipe dream that, well, if the government
trade radio ads for remote networking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But to have this pipe dream that, you know, we need Congress to go in there and fix the Federal Reserve. Hey, Congress gave us the Federal Reserve. It came from them to begin with.
Congress also does not understand technology. They try to outlaw. No. Basically, if Congress was acting 100 years ago like Congress is acting now, we'd all be driving Model T Fords still. And computers would still cost $10 million, require a team to operate and take up the whole floor of a building.
A lot of people don't know that the government kept computers from being on the open market for years and years and years when they controlled the technology so that they were the only ones that had it. So they could aim guns at, yeah, from ships and things like that.
And I actually got a request from a friend of mine who is trying to get a second computer so he can, you know, because he has a desktop computer and he wants to have one that he can edit audio on, you know, at school. It's Nick. He's 15. He's one of the reservist co-hosts in the mental militia of the Freedom Fiends. And he's a guy who's 15 and does a great podcast called Anarcho-Yakitalism, which is funny because Nima Vedati came up with the great name of the show, Freedom Fiends. I wanted to call this show Freedom Yak, Y-A-K, and have a double entendre, like we're yakking about freedom. But also, I wanted the logo to be a yak. And it's like, did we like imagine this into existence? Like suddenly we have this friend years later who is a yak farmer, a 15-year-old yak farmer. But he's looking for a computer, and he's like, his budget's $100. And I'm like, I'm trying to help him find one, a good laptop for editing on eBay. And it's like, you can actually buy a decent computer for $100 if you search really hard that rivals what they put a man on the moon with in NASA, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah. Because of Freedom not Fiends the government.
With Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. It's time for the redemption in the third act with Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. But I have a quick announcement before I hand the speaking stick over to Ben. If anybody listening subscribes to the Freedom Fiends website to our updates for shows via the option of subscribe by email, let me know. Drop me an email. I'm thinking you can drop me an email through the contact tab, the blue contact tab on the left side of the Freedom Fiends page. I'm thinking of getting rid of that service because there aren't that many people subscribed that way. Most people get it through RSS feed or Stitcher or iTunes or TuneIn. And the subscribe by email causes problems. Basically, the problem is when people subscribe from their corporate network, from their work address, and it's, you know, when you subscribe, it sends you an email back automatically saying, click here to say that, yes, you in fact did subscribe to this. On a lot of corporate email systems, that email back, the automated email back goes, is rejected as spam. And it comes back, I get a spam message back to me and it turns into a loop. And for like 3 days, for 3 days to 7 days, once an hour, I get an email saying this didn't go through. And there's like no way to really deal with it other than blocking the address of someone who's trying to lovingly subscribe to our show. So it's kind of an old way to subscribe to things. It's been replaced by newer methods, which are better. So drop me an email and let me know if you're subscribed by the subscribe by email and tell me if you like it and if you need it. And also if you could subscribe another way, if you could figure it out, if we got rid of that. So that's my announcement. Ben, tell us why we shouldn't worry about the fact that Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink.
Sure, Michael. You know, a lot of our regular listeners know all this stuff and they've heard it over and over and over. But in case anybody doesn't know, I am actually a Quaker and I'm a ordained minister. And so almost everything I say, in a sense, is a sermon. And every good sermon at near the end or at the end, every good sermon has an opportunity to explain to people what you can do in your life to make your life better, to reverse your ways, to be clean of the old lifestyle that you had before. And so that's part of being a minister, is knowing how to wrap something up like that and give hope for the future. And that's what we like to do on the Freedom Fiends. At the end of each show, we like to take a moment and give hope for the future. So I have a little story about my dog. My wife and I live in our RV. We travel around seeing this beautiful place that we call America. And during that process, oftentimes we'll park at different campgrounds in different locations. And oftentimes we end up parking under a tree that might be dropping, you know, sticks from squirrels running around, or it might be dropping nuts. Or in the case of where we're parked right now, there's 100-foot southern pines over us, and when a pine cone falls from 100 feet down and smacks the top of an RV, it kind of sounds like somebody hitting the camper with a mallet of some kind. And our little dog lays on the couch, and she's a really good little dog, and she's generally not a barker, and she's really well housebroken, and she's, you know, there's a lot of wonderful things about having a pet like that. But every time one of those pine cones falls that 100 feet and smacks our motorhome on the roof, she gets this panic look on her face because something's happening. She knows something's happening. Obviously, something's happening. She doesn't understand what's happening, and she doesn't know what to do to fix it, and it scares her. And the more of these things that hit the roof, the more afraid she gets, and it will really freak her out after a while. And sometimes I have to literally hold her to calm her down. But she doesn't understand the problem. And oftentimes, you know, you hear people on the radio and they're panicked about the, you know, all the diseases that are coming to us from the foreign lands, or all the invaders that are coming up across the southern border, or the economy is about to fall into the toilet, or there's all these things that are happening. And most people recognize how terrible they are, and more they're afraid. But the answer is not to panic. The answer is not to trust the government to fix these problems that the government has created. The problem is to look for solutions outside of the government. Look for true free market money, silver, gold, Bitcoin, Litecoin. The answers are there, but the answers are never to trust the people that created the problem.
Yeah. I'm laughing with you, not at you. That was brilliant, Ben. I love your redemptions in the third act. I think that should be du jour when we do this show.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you letting me on your show.
It's our show. It's your show, man. When you're on, it's your show. I'm just the board op.
Worms, Michael.
John's the real board op, though. Worms.